Go ahead and get started. Want to welcome everyone to our city council meeting. This is the May 20th city council meeting for Woodway, and want to welcome all of our staff and council members and guests. Thank you so much for being here. Let's get started. Our first item on the agenda is our invocation. I'm going to ask Councilmember Cook if she wouldn't mind leading us in our prayer this evening.
Please pray with me. God, I thank you for this opportunity to gather together peacefully, and I just ask that you would be with the council this evening as we make decisions that impact the entire citizenry of Woodway. And I just ask that you would just help us to be unified, and yeah, just thank you for this opportunity. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Mrs. Cook. Our second item is the Pledge of Allegiance. If you're able, please rise for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right, well, item number three is our public comment time. And the public comment time is an opportunity for citizens and guests to address council on any matter, including items on the agenda, except if you see a public hearing on the agenda. That's going to be heard when that specific hearing starts. We ask that you please limit your comments to no more than 3 minutes per resolution R-87-11. The council is not permitted to take any action or discuss any item that's not listed on the agenda. And when you're called to speak, please state your name and address. And if you're speaking on a specific agenda item, please state that item number before beginning your comments. And just as a reminder, the timer is up here on the screen behind us. So thank you for your cooperation and your understanding. At this time, I'll open the floor for any guests who'd like to address council. Anybody to address council, please? Yes, sir.
Good evening.
Good evening.
My name is Bill Schwartz, 435 Brockton Drive, Woodway. And I'm addressing something on the agenda number six. And now that the election is behind us, I would like to revisit something that it looks like is going to be brought up. I looked at the agenda for this evening on the website yesterday and saw there was going to be a discussion on approving KSA's bid to determine cost for refurbishing the old family center to make it a senior center. I sincerely believe we are wasting KSA's time and our money in determining cost to rehab the outdated old family center to make it a senior center. Anyone should realize that spending $20,000 or more to determine the cost of bringing the old place up to snuff, and possibly spending $1.5 million or more to actually do it, is a total waste of time and money, and certainly would result in higher taxes for all of us. You have built a beautiful new center, which has plenty of programs for seniors and ample parking near the entrance for those who have difficulty traipsing up from the parking lot. We do not need 12,000 square feet of heated and air-conditioned and staffed and maintained space for us seniors to use for our programs. I am not suggesting that a smaller designated senior center is out of the question sometime in the future. In fact, I have a couple ideas, but I'm not going to even go there tonight. Just do not let it be the old place, please. It's an eyesore to this community. I say you can put lipstick on a pig, but it's still a pig. I urge all of the council members to reconsider and stop this ridiculous idea of keeping it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Anybody else at this time, please? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Barbara Tipton, a little short. Barbara Tipton, Woodway, Texas. I respectfully disagree completely with Mr. Schwartz. I do think the new family center is beautiful. My opinion, not being a finance major, but knowing how to balance a budget, think that paying $6.7 million for a facility that was supposed to be 22,000, which was what the target size was originally, which is what we got the bid for the old family center for the addition. We could have had 22,000 square feet for under, I think it was $1.5 million. And so now we're faced with a beautiful eye candy facility of $6.7 million. At 15,000 square feet, which we all know at our growth here will be outgrown shortly. You're going to need the old family center, or if you just feel like we have so much money, we can keep writing checks and build a whole new one. But we're going to need a larger facility eventually, sooner than later. It would be nice, since we already rehabbed the old family center just a few years ago, and it was found to be structurally sound, and for, like I said, for 22,000 square feet, it was estimated cost under $2 million. And you all already said in the budget that we had $700,000 from the new center for construction and $700,000 from the old, which is $1.4 million. That would pay for any upkeep rehab on the new family center, or the old family center. So my suggestion is to be wise with the money and you rehab the new family, the old family center, and then you'll have both, because we all know we used it all for the last, well, since 2020, we've used it because it took so long to get the new one ready because of COVID and everything. But I do not think you're putting lipstick on a pig. I think that's an asinine description. I think it's good common sense, and I think that those of you that have finance and business experience would understand that that is good use of money. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. All right, anybody else? Yes, sir.
Richard Banker. I live on Harbor. Again, I will not give my address for safety reasons, and I suggest that other people do the same. I want to again speak about the bike paths on Estates Drive. I'm not sure why you don't use Topeka. Hopefully you went over and looked at Topeka and saw how wide it is. You wouldn't have to give up for two lanes of driving on Estates Drive. And I just wonder if you did a traffic study on the two streets to see where the traffic is to justify taking out two lanes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anybody else? All right. There being no other guests who'd like to address council, I'll close the public comment time at 5:40 p.m. Thank you very much. Oh, yeah.
No, we have far less folks in the room tonight than were with us at our last meeting, but somebody left this over on this corner. We've been holding it. If it belongs to anybody, you're welcome to come get it, or we'll hold it for a little bit longer, see if we have any takers. So Slumberjack on it.
I think it's with the
youth commission.
Kids.
Someone from the youth commission.
Okay.
We'll start there. Thank you.
Maybe you.
It could have been. Also, is there also?
Yeah. Sounds like an eBay item to me.
I don't know if we can get much for it.
All right. Thank you. Item number four, presentations here. We have a recognition of a City of Woodway retiree, Terry Drake. And I don't think Terry Drake could make it tonight. Is that right?
That's correct, Mayor. At the last moment, Mr. Drake had something unavoidable come up, and he couldn't be with us. But Mr. Norman is going to share a few words on
Okay.
Mr. Drake.
Great.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, Terry Drake, I talked to him this morning. He did want to be here. He could not be here. He worked with us for 15 years. We stole him away from a contractor doing utility work. He worked in the street department. He worked in the water and sewer department for, like I said, 15 years. He was a great equipment operator. And like I said, he really wanted to be here. And he says, thank y'all for what you've done for him. And he really appreciate, loved his job. Thank you.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you, Mr. Norman. Well, Mr. Drake, if you're listening to this, thank you for your service to the city. And we're so grateful for your 15 years of service. So can we just give him a round of applause in case he's here? Thank you so much, Mr. Drake. We wish you the very best in your retirement. All right, well, moving on to our items for individual discussion, consideration, and or action. Item number 5 is discussion and consider action on striping plans and options for the separation between the bike and vehicle lanes on the Estates Drive and Fairway Road Bicycle and Pedestrian Connections project. May I have a motion to discuss, please?
I'll make a motion to discuss.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Thank you. Mr. Manager, your comments, please.
Thank you, Mayor. MRB Group will be providing an update, and they're here with us tonight. The striping plans and options for the separation between the bike and vehicle lanes on the Estates Drive and Fairway Road bicycle and pedestrian connections project to the City Council. And with that, Ms. Shalma, if you'll come say hello to us.
Appreciate y'all having me here. Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, council members.
Welcome.
Thank you, Adam. So where we're at, give you a quick status update. We have developed plans to 95%. The city's kind of currently reviewing. The main thing that's left to do is to actually decide on the type of separator on Estates Drive for the ped bike and the vehicle separation. And then the next step, once we decide on that, is to schedule a letting date. So we are close to getting it out there for you guys to put out for a contractor. And so if you'll go to 2 more slides, probably, just as a reminder what the project consists of. You have approximately 8 foot of bicycle lanes, a 2 foot buffer zone with a separator, 2 lanes of traffic, and then your left turn lane. And so as you can see, the 2 foot buffer, what we're needing to do is decide on the type of separator that you want there. If you go to the next slide. And the reason that we recommend the separation is just for safety. When you have the separation with something physically separating that people see, you reduce vehicle crashes and bike crashes by 53%, or up to 53% per studies. So, and then the next few slides have our options, and I'm going to ask Shelley to come up here. Shelley is with PEXCO, and she provided a lot of samples here of different options that y'all can see kind of in front of the podium here. So the pictures here show what it looks like in the field, and then we have products for you to look at. And so on the right there is the curb product with the delineators. You want to say anything specifically?
Yes, I'll go ahead. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. We provide delineation for bicycle lanes worldwide, actually, but more so now in the United States as we're all looking to move back in and everybody started walking and biking a little more, a little less autos, although I don't see that going full blast in Texas. But this particular curb system, we use it to separate a bicycle lane. It's more of a physical barrier. People are a little hesitant to drive across the yellow curb. There's a post here and a post here. It's continual, looks like a picket fence when you're out there. So you can see it. That's what it looks like right there. That actually is in Missouri, but that also same product is around the University of Texas in Austin.
Do you want to move them out a little bit more so you can see them?
Sure.
Why don't you, if you don't mind, just moving them behind that podium to this right over here.
Sure. Oh, sorry about that.
Stick them right up here.
Great.
Describe it, and you can see that.
And you can touch it and feel it if you'd like. It's much better to see it that way. This picture on the left is right up, on Congress Avenue on the way to the Capitol. They put in this particular product exactly in white. They did it because they needed a separation immediately to go over that particular bridge. It's all over the place. They chose this one because it's super flexible. It's a little bit different than most delineator posts. It bends and pops right back up.
Wow.
So that's just a different version of a bolt down one. There is, as he mentioned, FHWA came out with a study. It's up to 53% if you delineate it with some sort of separator, regardless of what it is. There is up to a 53% chance, a better chance of an automobile not running into a bicycle lane. Now, I just left a bicycle show in Miami, which they're extending all their bicycle lanes downtown. There is a lean towards these particular products you're seeing up here on the photos are 36 inches high. There is a lean to go shorter, 28 inches high, and a bicyclist actually brought it up because if they get too close to the delineation itself, it can present a hazard if the handlebars hit a post at 36 inches. So there is a move, according to NACTA, which is a bicycle lane group, to go 28 inches. So, but these are all over the place. They're installed. These are installed individually, separately, or with a curb. And there's another post that goes here, or separately, and at all length, at all different widths. So, lane width. So it's totally up to you. But if you want to see it, it's really, you're going to be amazed. It's like one giant glue stick. And these are. We're also a green manufacturer, so part of these are recyclable, and we are just plastics, so that's the only thing we do. If you have any questions at all, or you want to go see some, of course, Congress Avenue is a good location, but they're all over the place. They're all over Dallas, all over Fort Worth, all over Houston. There are multiple options here. You can see the middle picture, because they didn't want, it's San Diego in the Gaslight District. They did not want it to look quite so construction-y because it's going down a historical area. They put a dome top on it, but it's certainly up to anybody.
What kind of issues do you run into between the real flexible one that you showed and then these others are not flexible?
Oh, this one is? Yes, ma'am. These are also flexible. They're just not quite as flexible, but they bend. Mm-hmm. And then they straighten back out. These are super flexible. These are also used in high-speed areas, but the reason we only do plastics is, and there are several other delineators out there, if a bicycler does start to wobble, or God forbid he run over something else in the road in the bicycle lane, we don't want him to fall and have any sort of anything in the inside that could possibly impale him. That's why they're all flexible. That's why they're all
If a car hits one or the other, is one of them softer, does less damage?
Actually, as flexible as this one is, oddly enough, this one does do damage to the hood of a car. So you actually know who's going through your bicycle lanes and who's not.
Well, I'm saying is one of them.
Huh? I was saying those felt a lot lighter.
Those?
Yeah. This one's a lot lighter. It's in a lot of different places. What happens when these are tested, oddly, you think when a car hits one of these things, it's going to go forward. It does not. It comes back to the hood of the car and then rolls under the undercarriage. As just for posterity's sake, all of these are tested. We do extensive testing at Texas Transportation Institute. These are all tested.
So if a car hits one, they'll have to be replaced?
This one and these take up to 50 to 75 impacts. These take 200. Just in either order. A situation. This one, because it's also in a high speed area, requires less maintenance, also less people out in the road, which is a hazard today. Either way you look at it, you know, people are on their phone, they're distracted more so now than ever. So, but these are, this one's made out of a urethane blend, this one is made out of a urethane, either or.
Are there safety advantages to one color over the other?
Typically, you match the lane line TCD, you match the lane line.
Okay.
We have seen it where people say, I don't want to match the lane line and I don't want to rock post because it's going to look ugly. like the one on Congress Avenue.
Okay.
And they put black. But it is okay. Totally, I have seen these.
I think the next one has black.
In St. Petersburg, Florida, they do this one, 28 inches of the green stripe to denote bicycle lane.
Okay.
Talk to us a little bit about pricing. What's the price differences between these options?
These are sold. We sell through a distributor who's here. They can range anywhere, and it depends. I'm not sure how much people charge to install these. That's a range that I don't get into. But you're looking at around $60. You're looking at around $30. So double impact, either or.
And for these over here? Same?
So, yes.
Are these the same?
These are exactly the same product.
Okay.
People just didn't want, so this one's super cool, I'll show you. So this one goes in the ground. This goes in the ground. You pour out your pavement or asphalt, whatever it is. This is mounted permanently into the pavement. Like this, it's flush. Mm-hmm. So if you have a bicycle lane, we have Greenville, South Carolina. They put it in their downtown area. They want to put up bicycle lanes. Whenever they want to open the lanes up because they've got a parade or they've got, you know, something coming through, or they want to close the downtown area down, they screw the post in. When they don't want the post there, they unscrew them. We have a cap that fits over it that's flush with the pavement and non-tripping. And then they,
I like that.
You know,
I like having that option.
I mean, they can screw them in, screw them out. And they use it for that reason. Also, from that perspective, if it's in an area where you feel like you're going to have a lot of, you know, fire or police presence, if it's, you know, near whatever center, this particular one, they can just drive right over and drive back. They don't have to send somebody out there to move barricades.
Okay.
It's a personal preference.
Got it. So one is 30. The white one is 30. The yellow
this
one
about
is
60. Yes,
is 60. And Solomon, how many of these do we need?
So we're... want some input from you guys on how much we want to space it. We could probably space it 8 to 15 feet. Obviously, the further we space it out, the more likely. But one of the comments I received from the engineering department is not preferring to just have looking like a runway, because, you know, these are all
reflective.
And so at night, when the lights are hitting them, they're going to shine back, which they need to, so people see them. So we can adjust that to some degree. If you want a little more spacing, we can get you that a total number on that. If you want the shorter spacing, you know, that's preference on what y'all want out there. But
are the curbs, if you use the curbs, is it fixed or is there?
This particular curb is, it looks like a big fence. So this piece matches up this.
Okay.
So they nest into one another. We do have one, and there's a photo of one that is just a single piece of curb.
Is there a safety advantage to the curb? I mean, I would imagine yes.
No, because your bicycle wheel has a chance to hit this.
Interesting.
If you're not paying attention, which it has a chance to hit this. Now, from a vehicle standpoint, yes. From a bicycle standpoint.
No.
It's iffy, or if you're paying attention, next to the curb is called the shy space, so you want your handlebars to have room here.
Right.
You don't want to get too far over either, because if your wheel hits this, then you're going to run the risk of on a wobble.
Interesting. Okay, I would have thought that that would have been
from
the
car perspective. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
But there is products if you want curb, but less delineation, but like that picture.
Okay.
So
I gotcha.
Yeah, here. It's up there. Oh, no, here it
one
is.
You want to go to that?
Okay, go to the next one.
There's one. See, it's a little bit less.
Those are little curves that you can, instead of being all together, space the curves out. From an engineering perspective, if you're wanting to go to curb, I don't recommend putting a gap.
That makes sense.
If you're wanting to keep the vehicles out, if you put a gap, then
hey, Chief, what do you like? What kind of spacing do you like, and what do you think would be the safest for our folks?
I think your approach about them shining back at them, unfortunately, individuals that drink, they're kind of attracted to lights. So I don't want that to be plentiful. I mean, honestly, our lights sometimes are a hindrance to us out there when we're doing traffic in the middle of the night because they kind of moth to a flame it. So I like the spacing between them, but not too much, obviously, but not like a runway, like you said.
So you're more, you would like them a little bit closer together, is what it sounds like?
I'd like them a little bit
further. Further
away. Yeah. Is there a recommended distance that, or a standard that most go with?
No, sir. I'd like to say there's a standard, but it really depends on how you want it to look in your own neighborhood. We have seen them as low as 8 feet. I have them 5 feet, but that's way too much. I personally feel like that. I've seen them 8 feet and 20 feet, but if you get past 15 feet, there's going to be that big gap where a car goes, oh, it doesn't mean anything. I can get in there.
Yeah.
So you have, it's just, it's certainly a personal preference. I've seen them either or.
However, with the curb, they have a little bit of a reflection there on the curb. So if we use that, it seems like we could space them out a little bit further. You still get the reflection, but the reflection is not bouncing straight into your eye. So you'll see it like it's like we had a little magnets on that magnet, but the little magnifier reflectors in the ground.
Yeah,
it would be like that, right?
Yes, sir. And just for the sheeting on this is actually a textile specification, so it's 2-3-inch wraps. It's standard in the state of Texas, but this is also a personal preference. So if you don't want to, you can have one. If you want green, you could have green. If you want whatever, this is customizable. The sheeting is customizable.
So many options.
Green would
be
good.
Yeah, it could be overwhelming.
Green and yellow.
Yeah.
We have to now, on the we've got what, three or four streets.
Like the curb?
Trying to remember for sure how many we have going forward. How long will the turn lane to go in for those streets? Because we have several streets that will be cutting into that bike lane. And like on North 19th, you kind of you said this is a lot like the way North 19th and Waco is. And you have the bike lane, then you have it becomes a turn lane, then it becomes a bike lane again. How long is that?
So on this one, you have a dedicated bike lane. You're not moving cars into that. So on your left turns, what we would do is space far enough that you're outside of the radius of the turn of each vehicle. So I don't remember exactly how wide each road is, so you'd have the width of the road plus about 15 feet spacing.
Gotcha. So there's not really going to be a turn lane to turn
not
in.
Not a right turn lane, no.
Like it is on North 19.
Right, no.
Because it's very odd on North 19.
So right, because that one has a very odd right turn lane that becomes a shared bike lane, and so you have the bike and the vehicle in the same lane. We're not doing that on this, where we're putting the bike and the vehicle in the same lane, but we do have to allow left turns. So at driveways, at streets, we got to give a gap of the delineation in order to allow people to come and go from there.
So if we did about trying to collect everything that everyone's been saying, about 15 feet apart allows for a car to not think, oh, I can just go over here, but is that what I'm hearing? It also doesn't provide too much of the reflection, and if we did only one stripe, one of the...
I would think if you got farther than 15, it would say, oh, I can get in there.
Well, that's what she said. Yeah. So I'm saying the minimum would be 15.
Yes. Yeah. Instead of maximum,
I would. Sorry, maximum would be 15. And then 10, the, 15, and then curb or no, what do you feel about that?
I think there should be, yes.
You like this one?
I love that. Okay. I think that's, if you're going to go with something.
Oh, I do have another question. So here it shows that you have these individual pieces. Do you have like a continuous strip of curbing? Is that possible?
Either
this,
or.
This one so is continuous. Be,
okay.
The one on the right-hand side, apologies, I didn't bring it. It's called discontinuous curb.
3 feet in between, well, that's about 2 feet in between the posts.
Well, if you go back, or is it forward one picture? I can't remember which way. There's also this option, so this is the one we brought,
right.
But
so you can,
where you can actually have more spacing.
Yeah.
So you don't have to go, with this specific one that has about 4 foot curb.
Three foot spacing.
We can modify based on the curving and that type of a setup where we want the actual post.
Sure.
So if we want to go 10 feet in between.
Yes, sir. It's customizable. If you were to go with, this is for this crazy. It's called Interstate Grade Curb. But if you were to go with this option, you could put posts every 3 feet, like here. You could put them every 6. You could put them every 9. You could put them every 12. Mm-hmm. If you ran into an area where, for whatever reason, the automobiles are not looking at what, I mean, they're not paying attention. This is a bicycle lane. This is where we're going. Then you could add posts if you wanted to, or mm-hmm. if you felt like, well, these posts are up here and nothing's happening, then you can take posts out. It's a customizable situation.
So turning into someone's driveway, mm-hmm. if we had this here, we're not going to have any problems with them traversing over that.
We would leave a gap.
Oh, you leave a gap.
Sure. Right. We're going to have to leave gaps where in delineation or curb, for people to go in and out of their driveways and streets.
So it'd be a break?
Yeah,
it'd be a
break. Yeah, that's what I was hoping, but I, based on this here, it's kind of hard for me to tell whether or not that is.
Yeah,
so you can see where there is a gap. I don't know if in this particular picture it's because of a street or a driveway, but that's basically, we would start outside of a driveway and run, and then, you know, come to a street or driver or whatever, stop, mm-hmm. have a gap, and then...
This can be driven over also, if I didn't say it, it is possible to be driven over. It is made to be run over. It's a roadway application.
And last question from me on this. The one that you showed us that goes into the asphalt that screws
yes,
in and out, that can't be used in combination with this,
no,
right?
Sir. It's a standalone product.
But what she was saying is you can...
Okay.
You can remove these also.
Do those lock? Do they lock in place? Do those lock in place?
Screw in.
Yes, sir.
But I mean the.
These. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Screws that come in.
We have plastic pins.
Oh, okay. Plastic. Great.
The I'd only like thing that's a metal on that particular product line is there are 6 holes, but you don't need to use 6. That was tested with 4. There's 6 just because people want 6. That's standard. Mm-hmm. But you just put 4 bolts into the asphalt or concrete, and that's mounted down.
I see. Cool.
I guess I should ask that. So can they remove once you install them, these 4, you said they're plastic pins, can they be taken in and out?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Yes, if for any reason that particular post fails or it falls over and doesn't come back up because someone's twisted on it, you know, like a picture of delivery driver, twisted on it and torn it anywhere on the holes, which are these are the weakening holes, the islands right here are weak. On purpose, but if for any reason that happens and you can pop the pins out, put new pins in, put a new post in anytime.
Cool. What other questions?
I had a follow-up on the colors. Is there, the whiter the yellow that you tend to put in more than another?
No, sir, not really. We're usually, generally, this one to the right is kind of strange because it's got a yellow curb and yellow post, but they typically match the lane lines of the bicycle lane. There's not one or the other that we sell more of, honestly enough. It just depends on what the city is doing.
Okay. Yeah, I was looking at some studies, and they were saying that the white was slightly better from a safety standpoint than yellow, which surprised me. But
yeah. We have seen orange, too, but I wouldn't recommend that. It's a work zone color, and people get really weird about it. They can't. They feel
yeah.
like it's a stressor for them. So we do make this also in black. But mostly we see most people try to match the MUTCD and match whatever the state is doing so that, you know, when you drive through the work area, it's not shocking for anybody that's visiting.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Just a point of discussion, if you get white and green, it would be good white colors. Just a thought to kind of have it stand out.
Does it cost any more to do a different color? Does it cost any more to do
the the sheeting or the post?
The post.
No, sir.
Council, you can see our, at the staff level, our reluctance to just choose one and say, here we go with the project.
Yeah.
Seeing how many options and variety they offer. That's why we wanted it. It took a couple of meetings. We had some delays, but now that they're at 90% completion, this is going to be an integral part of this project and something everybody's going to see every day. So we wanted to make sure we had the buy-in from the council and that your wishes were heard or we could explore whatever options are available. Other than that, I don't have, I've had this discussion several times with John and Mitch, and we're kind of to the point now, we just wanted you guys to be happy with what we plugged into this project. And I learned something. I didn't know you could have different colors tape, so.
Yeah.
Yellow's the safest color.
Now, this might be a staff question, but how soon will we see this street go to the bike lane get put in, you think?
I think even after it's fully funded and everything's on paper, I think we're still looking at next year. Isn't that correct?
When you give me a decision on this, I'll get the specs put in there whenever I get that decision. So once we do that, we are ready to go to letting. So generally, what's required in letting, which y'all don't have any federal funds, so it's not necessarily you have to do this, but generally you advertise twice, usually at least 3 weeks out. You know, on we put it on CivCast for contractors to look at it, have questions, you know, and put their bids in. From there, you know, it'll take a month to 2 months, depending on how quickly the contractor and the city get a contract together. So, I mean, depending on when I get this answer, 4 months from now, we could definitely go. We could speed faster than that if you want to, or we can slow it down.
Well, in the conversation I had earlier with our city engineer, this I was reminded this is one of a three-part project that's over multiple capital outlay items. So this will plug in, let's say this is B, we've got A, C, and D coming down this way eventually. So that's probably where I was hesitant to say this will be next year, because it will, the full scope as everything's plugged in will take a lot longer, but that's good to hear.
If you want to go next year, we can set it up that way. It's just kind of, I would say 4 months is realistic from when you give me an answer on this. I can easily have a project, a contractor out here and be going, but from that 4 month window, we can move that however far that goes into y'all's schedule.
I don't feel like a need to delay it any further.
The striping piece, when they come out to stripe and put what's on paper out here in the street, there's other areas they're going to stripe as well to save us money. So that part you may see a lot sooner, but I don't know what this timeline looks like.
Well, that's all, or at least unless you have something else that I don't know about, those pieces, Adam, are in this project. It's in this set of plans, so that will be together.
Perfect.
The thing that we will have to watch out for, so in order to get a good product out there, we're going to need to put down a seal coat or a micro-seal or a thin overlay so that the stripes that are existing don't bleed through. And so that is temperature contingent. So we don't want to do that probably in the January, February, March is iffy time frame. So you don't want a contractor out here putting asphalt out then.
Is this for only this stretch of Estates, which I know, okay, not for going down to the lake, but going down to the lake, there is a shift in the bike lanes as they currently stand. Is that correct or no?
Not really a shift.
Okay.
So right here, that's Bosky, right?
Yeah. Right.
Across the bridge and stuff, we will do a little bit of shifting.
Okay.
But as we get a little further, we will be refreshing, putting the right bike symbols, and stripes and signs out.
Okay.
And then on Fairway, we'll be adding a bike lane striping. Right.
Okay.
But it won't have delineation or separation.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So, Mr. Manager, for right now, what decision do you need? You need us to pick a delineator and the color, I'm guessing? Is that what you need?
Yes, sir. That's what we need. Staff needs some direction to forward on to MR. Well, he's going to hear it while he's here, but we'll formally do it.
Okay.
But we just wanted to make sure we had a unanimous or as close as we can get to unanimous direction on what you guys like or you don't like.
I just wanted to make sure that we made the motion for what you were needing to move this forward.
Whatever they're all styled or called, I'm sure they have their own name, but we can work that out. And
let me just ask generally, do we like this one? Is this one?
I like that style.
I like the curb. And
if that's what that is, you like the style.
Yeah. What's this one called?
Interstate Grade Curb.
All right. You guys want it in green or?
Well, they were saying it's going to be the color of the
stripe,
which
okay, I see.
But then we can have the reflective tape be a different color.
I see.
That's what I was going to say. Right. Reflective tape could be green.
Yes, sir, it can.
Okay, so this is what I propose.
Okay.
That we do it in white because we're probably going to stripe it in white.
We don't want that.
And we have green reflective tape. And that also can dovetail into it being part of a Greenways. You want to play with the colors, a Greenway trail, if you will. And so when we do signage, we can have, you know, color code as far as signage is concerned that goes with that green tape. I think if you're looking down the line, that would be something that we could do.
Yeah. Okay.
That would be what I propose.
Do you think we should say just one stripe to help with the reflective?
I don't think it would matter, to be honest with you.
Okay, as long as we have it, as long as we have it spread out enough.
Yes, and I think what you said, what I was going by is that's way too spread out, obviously, in my opinion, for a bike lane, mm-hmm. the picture on the right. But 10 to 15 feet, I think, would be just right.
I feel like 10 feels like a safe number without being able to see it.
Then you would need to also just throw another option in there. You need to decide whether you would like to see it 36 inches high or whether you would like to see it 28 inches high.
I like your thought about the 28. That's a
lean to the bicycle community.
Yeah, that it hits the handlebars. I think that makes a difference.
But if you should try it and you think the 28 is not getting you where you want to go,
uh-huh.
36 is standard. We make them all day long, every day. You can change them out. That's the beauty of the system. You can change out the posts.
Well, and I wonder, too, driving height, I'm really thinking about your comment about drivers at night who have had too much to drink. What do you think, based on car height of, 28 or 36?
Yeah, I don't, people drive big vehicles around here, but I don't, it's so far in the distance for them, I think they'll be fine, whatever you choose.
Okay.
So you say the bicyclists, they're the ones who kind of, I've never heard this come up before.
We had a cyclist at the NACTO, which was a cities from all over, particularly large in the Northeast, large in the West, some in our area because we're getting more involved in the South down here. But they said they preferred a lower post height because of the handlebars, which I thought was interesting. And we have seen these installed in St. Petersburg, Florida, in a bicycle lane. And we did it that way because at the time the city manager was a cyclist, and he said, can you give me some 28-inch? I want to see what it's like on this stretch of road in front of my office. So we've seen it either or. We're happy to provide whatever you'd like. I've seen them even lower. I've seen them much taller. But it kind of made sense to me. It's certainly a personal preference. Mm-hmm. There's no standard for that right now, although at the NACTO meeting I was at a couple weeks ago in Miami, they were pushing for lower for handlebars. But it's either or, 36 inch for car, 28 for bicycles. It's just, a happy medium, whatever works for you.
Great. Well, thank you guys. Yeah. I'll entertain a motion then on approving the interstate grade curb delineator. And whoever would like to make the motion, just let us know how high you'd like to make it, the striping color, and the spacing. So
I'm happy to give it a whirl. All right,
so it's the type, the striping color, the spacing, And the height.
Sure. All right. I move that we, that we go with the following striping plan and options for the separation between the bike and vehicle lanes on the Estates Drive and Fairway Road Bicycle and Pedestrian Connections Project. The interstate grade curb in white with green, you called it a word, sheeting. Okay, with green sheeting that is 28 inches high and 10 feet apart.
In spacing.
In spacing. Yeah. Is that, did I cover it all?
Yes.
Okay.
And I'll second that.
Great job. All right, it's been moved and seconded. I'll now call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, please say nay.
Abstain.
Abstain.
All right. The ayes have it with two abstentions from Councilman Russell and Councilman Keyston. Thank you all very much. Thank you. Thank you, guys. I think that's all we need. Appreciate it. Thank you all so much for coming, and thanks for the... thanks for bringing those samples in. All righty. Council, we're moving on to item number six. This is discussion and consider action on contract negotiations with KSA Engineers Incorporated in response to RFP number 24-01 for the facility condition and assessment and cost analysis on the old Woodway Family Center, and authorizing the city manager to execute any documents in connection therewith. Council, before we open this up for discussion, I was looking over the notes that we were given on this item, and I do have some clarifying. I need some clarification on where we are in the contract negotiation. So I'm going to suggest we convene into executive session so we can visit with our attorney about this contract negotiation, and then we can come back and finish this item. So that's okay with everybody.
Sure.
I will close the open meeting, or excuse me, pause the recess the open meeting for executive session at 6:18 p.m. Thank you. Okay. Council, coming out of executive session at 6:46 p.m. and resuming the open meeting. All right, we are on item number six, discussion, consider action on contract negotiations with KSA Engineers Incorporated in response to RFP 24-01 for the facility condition and assessment and cost analysis on the old Woodway Family Center, and authorizing the city manager to execute any documents in connection therewith. We've already moved and motioned to open for discussion, so I'll just move straight to city manager comments, please.
Thank you, Mayor. As we've discussed previously, we've had two firms interested in helping us with this endeavor. And we further negotiated it down to a much better rate, but the scope has changed so substantially. We worried how to best proceed, and that's where we wanted to get our attorney's guidance on. So we can still move forward with this. It's just a matter of procedure.
Okay. Good. All right. Yeah, thanks. All right, so Council, we have the information from our attorney that we discussed previously. What's your pleasure? How would you like to move forward on this? Well, let me give some context here. We know the bid. We know the scope of the work. We know the cost of the bid, and we know that we need to reconsider some things. So,
I'd like to make a motion that we
should we have more discussion first, just so citizens can.
Oh, I think Mayor Pro Tem had something he was going to say.
Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I was going to say
this whole, you know, process was a little difficult in terms of making sure that we were doing what we believe was right for the citizens and taking a closer look at the family center. And so with that in mind, I think that we did our diligence in making sure that we went out, tried to find the appropriate companies to respond to this proposal. Hindsight being 2020, we recognize that there's some things that we could have probably said a little bit differently, which has caused us to come to this position of having to take another look at this. And with that being said, I think that we have a better understanding now of what the individual companies have to offer and what we really want them to do with regard to the scoping of this particular project. And so I think that now that we have had a chance to digest a little bit more information, and now that we know that the negotiations are a little bit different than what we had expected, so this gives us a little bit of time to pause and think a little bit differently in terms of what we want to do. So for those of you who may not remember, one of the big issues was how we put it out as a proposal and whether or not that proposal required or requested a particular fee structure. One of the companies that responded gave us a fee structure. The other company that responded didn't. And I was one of the ones who's tried to get them to give us some type of a fee structure that would help us in a fair way evaluate whether or not they would be a good company for us. And so we did come to some kind of conclusion, and we had an open forum where we voted on this. And having gone through that vote, we decided that we were going to go with this particular company, KSA. But now that we know that there are some different things that have transpired during this period of negotiation, there are some things that we need to take a closer look at. And I don't want to make this motion, so I'm going to open it back up to my fellow colleagues. If you have any other additional comments, if I didn't say anything right or misspoke or something.
Well, that's fine.
I would like to just say that I think we should take benefit of the 2019 engineering study that we had and see if there are any aspects of that study that basically would not have changed over the past 5 years. And if so, those are, and with, you know, staff looking at it. Because if those things haven't changed, there's no reason to put a request out for those areas. And then hone in on the other areas that we might wish to have a better, closer, tighter understanding of. I think that could certainly reduce the overall scope and the overall cost.
Mr. Attorney, I'm just going to ask you to keep us in bounds here if we go too far in our discussion. So just feel free to wave a flag or raise your hand or something.
Might be flagging me on this one, but I was just going to say if we turn this down doesn't mean that we're not doing an engineering study. It just would mean.
Yeah, that's, no, sir. It does not mean that you can never do an engineering study or do a different study.
Yeah.
Your options here, like any negotiation, are to accept what they've offered, to counteroffer,
correct,
or reject the offer and then cease negotiations.
So I just wanted to make sure the citizens know that we're not abandoning the project at this
correct
point. We're just not accepting this one, as far as I believe might happen.
We're kind of taking two steps back and then revising and then going back forward again.
Correct.
Well,
you know, from a holistic standpoint,
what negotiation.
What it comes down to is a price for the work that is
correct,
just not palatable to council, and it's a little bit beyond our price tolerance, let me put it that way. So I think we need to reevaluate what we want to do, and I think we need to reevaluate how we want to do it and get the process done correctly. So Council, it sounds like we are in favor of stopping this process and restarting in the future with correct with the correct process.
So what's on the table is to decide what to do with RFP.
Just with the current.
Yeah.
You can in the future.
Okay.
We'll have the what's in the future on the next, on some agenda.
Yep.
And Janelle started that.
So yeah, this is.
Not get the floor to anybody.
No.
Once you're starting, I just want to make sure citizens knew.
Well, I make a motion that we disregard the RFP 2401 and start with a new
reject
scope.
Can we do it that way?
Just to clarify, that's
you can reject the proposals in response to.
And that's it. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
For now.
I make a motion that we reject the proposals in response to the RFP 2401.
Okay. I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded. Thank you. I'll call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it, and the motion carries unanimously to the rejection of RFP 24-01. Thank you all. All right, well, moving on to item number 7. That is the consent agenda. And the consent agenda can be approved with a single motion, but anybody on the board can decide to remove an item for separate consideration and action. So, Council, with all the items that are in front of you, are there any items that you would like removed for separate discussion?
I'd like to remove B for separate discussion.
B as in boy? Mm-hmm. All right. Mrs. Barkley, removing 7B out for separate discussion from the consent agenda. Anybody else? All right, I'll entertain a motion on items 7A, C, and D, please.
I'll make a motion to approve 7A, C, and D.
It's been moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Thank you. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it, and items 7A, C, and D from the consent agenda are approved. Item 7B is discussion and consider action ratifying the expenditure of $198,538 to Jurgensen Pump LLC for emergency repairs to the Highway 84 well due to unforeseen damage and necessary to preserve or protect the public health or safety of the city residents pursuant to Texas LOC Government Code 252.0215. Motion to discuss, please.
I'll make a motion to discuss.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Thank you. Mr. Keeston.
Yes, I was just, I was looking over the Jurgensen pump invoice, and the math doesn't seem right. Am I missing something here? $198,538, and yet I don't see much more than
about $150,000.
No, I see.
Well, there's a 24, a 61, an 18, and a 50, and then
okay,
some small.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yes. You, no. You're.
But it still seems.
My. Yeah. No. That's correct. Yeah. This is in addition to the fixes we had on the two other wells.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This well has been in service for 10 years, which is pretty good for one of our wells. Before it had to have any other repairs.
That's kind of
as long as it's lasted. But John, you and Mitch had a lot of direct encounters with this thing, a lot of long nights. Can you touch on some of this for some clarification points, please?
Yes, sir. I can do my best. Thank you. I got it pulled up here, I think. Some of the numbers that most definitely caught my eye in this proposal, a big deal is the acid that's used, the acidization, which is $50,000. You'll remember that the 84 well is the well, it builds up calcification in it. Mm-hmm. And so this is the only well we have that needs this, but it needed to be cleansed, and that stuff's extremely expensive as far as that goes. Yeah, $50,000 is a lot of money on that. Also, being in the ground as long as it was, in addition to having some of those issues, we had to replace 27 sticks of pipe. That Oh, and the pipe prices, as we know, in the last 3 years have skyrocketed. That's $61,000. So a normal repair, we're looking at, what, 90 to 120? I think normally when y'all see one come in, you know, the pump's usually $30,000 to repair, the motor maybe $25,000 burn-up. But right there, you know, we're over about $110,000 in charges right there, and I think that's some of the bigger items. 27 sticks is quite a few sticks. We don't normally replace that many, but due to the age, how long this one's been in there, I was trying to remember how many sticks we changed out last time. I don't think we changed out too many. I'm not positive, so I think that is what led to maybe more sticks being changed out this time. Is there anything?
With these improvements, is there an expected service life expectancy?
No. Well, I'm knocking on wood that we get another 10 or 12 years out of this pump and motor. With the issues, though, that are with this well, we've been told from Jurgensen especially, but other groups that have worked on it, that's a good life expectancy out of this one, for sure.
This one hadn't gone down, though, like the others. I mean, we were snake bit for a while.
Oh, most definitely. No, this one, it was not electrical issues on this one. It was, well, the problem is you can't see it till you pull it out, but best guess is they think it may have got enough buildup that it wasn't pumping the capacity it should. And so that's what, but when it came out, you know, the buildup that's on it, it had to be cleaned, had to go back to the shop. And that's a lot. And that's why some of the pump and motor costs on this one are lower than normal. Oh. So, but that's exactly, so what it is, you know, the guys in the field, they're really smart with, they can read what the numbers say. And the numbers tell them the capacity is way down, something's wrong. Before we completely burn up a $90,000 motor, this is what we need to do. And I think that's some of what went on here. So.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mr. Keeson, is that all you had?
Yes.
Okay. I'll accept a motion on item 7B, please.
I'll make a motion to approve.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it, and the motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Council. All right, we've already done item 8, so we are moving back into another executive session.
Mayor, just one moment, if I may.
Yep.
Since we did approve D, I did have some extra handouts for the micro seal. This is just going to show you
the
what
streets
and yes, all the details.
It's got about that.
Very, has everything, width, length, square yardage, everything you could want to
okay,
know.
Thank you. So, sorry, Mr. Manager, I didn't give you a chance to fill in here.
Possibly could walk.
I don't know.
Not yet.
Did you have any other, I know we're past it, but did you have any other comments on anything?
No, sir. I'll close with my report. That's the only handout I had related to our
perfect
consent agenda.
And this is going to be on the website as well. We're going to post the streets.
We can when we get closer.
When we get closer.
Putting those out, yes, sir.
Great. Awesome. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. All right, Council. Well, we're moving on here to item number 9. And notice is hereby given that the City Council will go into executive session in accordance with Texas Government Code 551.074 to deliberate the appointment, employment, evaluation, reassignment, duties, discipline, or dismissal of Adam Nylett, a city officer or employee. I will pause the open meeting, recess. I don't know why I want to say pause today. Sorry. Just need a break, I guess. Recess, open meeting at 7.02 p.m. for executive session. Council, let's come out of executive session at 7.46 p.m. Resuming the open meeting at this time, we are moving to item number 10, discussion and consider action to appoint Adam Nylett as city manager. Terminate his assistant city manager contract as amended by agreement, award a city manager contract, and authorize the mayor to execute any documents in connection therewith. May I have a motion, please, to discuss?
I'll make a motion to discuss.
I'll second.
All right. Well, Mr. Nylett, we as a council have met, and we are so happy to announce that Adam Nylett will be our next full-time city manager for the city of Woodway, Texas. Congratulations.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, everybody.
So we'll have a chance for maybe some pictures or something here in a second. But I would like to move that we lift the interim title of interim city manager on Adam Nylett and make him our official city manager for the city of Woodway, Texas.
I'd like to have the honor to second that motion.
So moved and seconded. I'll call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it. The motion carries unanimously. And City Manager Adam Nylett, congrats. All right. I should also have mentioned that's effective today. So you can come in tomorrow morning and get to work as the official.
I forgot to tell you the schedule is 10 o'clock at night every night. So sorry.
Disclosure.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Very honored to have you. Very, very happy to have you. And we're just looking forward to what you bring to the city. So
thank you. I'm excited. I have a great staff, great council. I think we're going to do great things, short, medium, and long range. So thank you for your trust and confidence.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
All right. Well, moving on to city manager and council reports. Number 11 is the city manager's report. Mr. Nylett, City Manager Nylett. Any?
That's a nice room.
It does. Yeah. It really does. Yeah. Yeah. Mr. Manager, do you have any updates for us?
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, sir. Just a few. City Hall, as you all might know, is going to be closed Monday for Memorial Day. On this solemn day, while we remember our fallen brothers and sisters who have died in military service, we do hope you will have a good day with your family and friends. This is indeed what these service members gave their life for. Our 2-inch water line is on schedule. Our Arboretum restroom installation is on schedule. The Bosque tank painting that you recall a few meetings ago, where we were going to recoat or repaint the inside outside of that Bosque tank, they are here, they're staging, and within 60 days is what, correct me if I'm wrong on that, John, but I think it's 60 days they have to wrap that up for us. Also, a brag for a minute on our HR manager, Evie Lopez, and our police captain, Nolan Schaefer. They both completed the TML Leadership Academy, which is it's a two-part, three-day academy that spans a lot of leadership, spans leadership across a lot of governmental topics. So very useful, pretty interesting, and I wanted to commend them publicly for taking their time to go do that, and while the work piles up on them when they get back, they return better for it, so their efforts are appreciated. The Woodway Forward Plan, I won't touch too much on that. I think Mr. Keeston may have something to offer. But I got an email at 4:37 today from Mr. Norman, just reporting back to me that he has heard from several PNZ members, and they've sent over to him some thoughts and things to consider as we keep moving this down the line.
If it's possible to have them copy me on that would be great.
I'll forward it to you tonight,
sir. Thank you.
Lastly, our own officer, Michael Caldwell, will be promoted to corporal on Wednesday. We wish him well in his new leadership position and many good things ahead in his career. And I have a little something for you, Chief, for him. Don't let me forget. And that's all I have, Mayor and Council. Thank you.
Great. Great report. Thank you so much. And please extend our congrats to those individuals.
Thank you. I will.
I know that's no small feat to get that certification, so. All righty. Item number 12 are the city council reports. Do we have any updates from any of the liaisons?
On the 28th, we'll have a P&Z meeting, and at that time, as Adam alluded to, we're going to have the Woodway Forward Comprehensive Plan going before P&Z for discussion, possible action.
Mm-hmm. So. Great. Thank you. Anybody else?
And Parks will have a meeting this Thursday at 5:30.
Okay. Awesome.
Which I'll take this moment to announce. I will not be able to be present at that meeting. I have an obligation that is unavoidable that I will have to be way out of town for. So I will not be able to make it back to that one. I know I attend all the other boards and commissions meetings, but my apologies, I can't make that one.
Okay.
Well, we just hire you.
I was trying to make a joke.
I was late for
that's how
I'm trying to make the bowl of one.
Nope, it's a done deal.
It's a done deal. Yeah. No problem at all. Very good. Well, I will move on to 13, consider action on adjournment, and I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
The ayes have it, and we are adjourned at 7:52 p.m. Thank you all very much. Have a great night.